This episode of Sick deals with sexual themes. Just keep that in mind if you have kids around.
Three to four years ago, both of my children and I were diagnosed with a genetic condition. I also knew that I'm a carrier for a genetic disease that is prevalent in Ashkenazi Jews.
Allie Farber-Kramer sent in her 23andMe kit for health reasons. She got her results back in June of 2019.
I looked through the medical history, no surprises. And then I opened the DNA relative section, and it said I had 23 or 24 DNA relatives, and it listed them all. I also had a message from someone named Jacoba Ballard saying she was sure I was confused by my results. If I had any questions, feel free to contact her.
Allie didn't think much of it. She thought Jacoba worked for 23andMe, and that the relatives she saw were just a mistake. She kind of forgot about it.
Months passed. Then on December 9th, 2019, an episode of Dr. Phil aired.
A fertility doctor who fathered nearly 70 children is warning his secret offspring to keep quiet.
It was titled DNA Drama, Fertility Doctor's Secret Children. Some of the people you heard on this podcast joined Dr. Phil to talk about their experiences. One of them was Matt White.
I immediately knew that I was going to be a part of this because he looked just like me.
Allie didn't catch the show when it aired. She recorded it. And on December 12th, her daughter was homesick from school. They curled up in bed to watch it.
As it started and the four adult children of Dr. Klein came out, the first name was Jacoba Ballard. And I laid there and just said, oh my God, I recognize the name. And I reached for my phone and opened my 23andMe account, and all four of the siblings on stage were listed as my half-siblings.
This is Sick, a podcast about what goes wrong in the places meant to keep us healthy. I'm Jake Harper.
And I'm Lauren Bavis. On this episode, a new family connected to Donald Klein and a new development. Allie and her twin sister are the oldest known Klein siblings. They were born in 1972. Allie's twin is named Amy Farber-Baston. Amy reached out to us on Facebook in January 2020, a few weeks after they found out. And we asked if she and her family would talk to us. They all still live in Indianapolis, and we met them at the parents' house in Northeast Indy. This is Amy.
Our dad is the most amazing human on earth. So to be hit with the news that he wasn't our biological father, and then in the same setting to find out that someone that they considered a friend and their physician was our biological father was just, I mean, I can't even. I still, 6 weeks later, cannot. I'm having trouble coming to grips with all of it.
A lot of the Farber story is similar to what happened with the other families connected to Klein. The Farbers had heard about what Klein did, but didn't think he had used his own sperm with them. Not until Allie saw that episode of Dr. Phil.
But the reason we wanted to do another episode is that the Farber story is different. Like Amy said, her parents knew Klein.
Hi, I'm Jake.
I'm Mark.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Sherry.
Sure, that'd be great.
Mark and Sherry Farber are medical professionals. She's a retired occupational therapist. He's a pulmonologist.
Mm-hmm. You're both doctors?
Mm-hmm.
Sherry's PhD, I'm an MD.
And like Klein, the Farbers bred dogs, only their breed is golden retrievers.
But he did have some nice dogs. People, you know.
Sharpeys.
Well, Sharpeys, they were...
ugly.
Well, you don't like them. They're very wrinkly, you know. They look like a lot of folded skin. Not, they're nice dogs in their own way.
How did both of you know Klein?
We were in the Air Force together, stationed at Grissom Air Force Base.
And where is that?
Grissom Air Force Base is about 70 miles from here, Bunker Hill. We were stationed there and we worked in the same clinic and hospital.
And I had started fertility workup, and part of that involved some surgery, which Dr. Klein did on me.
So what was your relationship like? Were you mostly just kind of friendly, or were you friends? Well,
friendly. I mean, we had little medical meetings. We, you know, he would refer patients to me. I did some internal medicine there, and he was a little he seemed like he was an okay guy mostly.
An okay guy, but Mark also thought Klein was insensitive, and he acted like he knew it all, even among other doctors.
Was he pretty religious back then?
Yes. I don't know if he had to. Did he have those same religious icons in his office? And
I found it off-putting because I believe that especially women who are going through fertility workup are very vulnerable. You feel, you know, less than. And so it was a difficult time. And he proselytized.
So he would try to convert you? Or
yeah. I mean, he would make comments like, you know, I realize you're Jewish, but Christ is the answer. What do you say to that if you are Jewish? I found that questionable. It didn't belong in a medical practice. Maybe he thought if he could change my belief system, we'd raise our children as Christians, which may have been important to him.
Why stick with him?
Back then, there were two fertility doctors in Indianapolis. One had a reputation of being excellent, and the other one nobody talked about.
And, you know, sometimes you overlook things if you think that this person, in spite of those kinds of comments, is going to help you.
Sherry and Mark remember Klein told them they'd need artificial insemination to get pregnant. Mark didn't have any sperm because of hernias he had as a baby.
He had mentioned to us that he would use a medical resident or a medical student as a donor. And I was comfortable with that, and so was he.
Either you adopted or you had to have artificial insemination. So those were the choices, and we thought that was the better choice. He asked me one time, well, do you want to know who the donor is? And I said no. I didn't want to know any more then than I wanted to when before we started.
That is so weird.
Well, it is weird because I thought at the time, he shouldn't be telling me who it is anyway. That person should expect to be anonymous. I thought it was a strange thing to say. What he would have told me, I have no idea. I guess he would have, I don't know what he would have said.
Allie and Amy were born on October 3rd, 1972. Klein delivered the twins. He even came to visit when they were babies. They have pictures of Klein holding them. And Sherry says she was his patient for years until he retired a decade ago. There's another reason the Farber story is different from the other families. In 2006, Allie was 33 years old. She had one kid, and she wanted a second. But she was having trouble getting pregnant.
I was nearing what they consider advanced maternal age, and we were not getting any positive pregnancy tests. I think I knew in my gut that something wasn't right, so I made an appointment with Dr. Klein.
Hey, this is Jake.
And Lauren, thank you so much for listening to Sick.
It takes a lot of time and resources to make a podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, consider making a donation to WFYI.
Go to wfyi.org/give and be sure to mention Sick in the comments. That's wfyi.org/give. Thanks. The reason Allie decided to go public with her story is that Klein, her fertility doctor, is also her biological father.
I've had people ask me regarding Don accepting me as a patient. Well, maybe he didn't know. And to that I say, he absolutely knew. When I first went to see him, He asked, how are your parents doing? And I didn't know, have that knowledge. I wasn't given the choice to say, oh, I would never want my biological father to place his hands in such a private location on my body. No father should be putting their hands on their adult daughter in that way. And Don, over the course of those 2 years, really never could give me a reason why I was having trouble getting pregnant. So I was there a lot. I was there quite a few times over that two-year period.
To be clear, Klein never artificially inseminated Allie. She saw him for fertility drugs. And Klein was her gynecologist.
He for sure did internal exams. He also did pap smears and the breast exams.
I mean, I sort of know what that right. looks like for maybe for someone else who doesn't know what a typical OBGYN exam goes. Can you explain that?
You're naked with your feet up in stirrups with a sheet covering you, and you may or may not have a gown on. They usually start by doing a breast exam, opening the gown from the front and doing a breast exam. And then they insert a speculum and palpate to see if they can feel one hand on top of the belly and one internally to feel ovaries or any suspicious masses. And I still have almost panicked feelings when I think about that part of it. It's just gross. Makes you feel dirty. It's gross. How could this man who I trusted so much and did not get a hint of any wrongdoing while he was treating me those 2 years, how could that man have been the same one to do this? I didn't have anxiety before this. Can't sleep, can't eat. And there's really, no one really can relate or understand unless they're also a part of this. After 2 years, he said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do for you. Go live your life and be happy. And I just thought, well, if I can't have a baby, I'm going to get boobs.
Like you would use that money to?
I mean, not even just the money, but, you know, I always knew when I was done having kids, I wanted to have breast implants. So I scheduled that surgery and I got pregnant the month after I got my boobs. So he followed me until the end of my first trimester, at which time he referred me to a regular OB. And I remember him asking if I would bring my baby in to see him. And at the time, I really didn't think anything of it. But now that also comes across to me as a little bit creepy and strange that he would want to see her.
Strange how?
I don't know if he would be asking all of his patients to do that. It makes me wonder if he only did that because he knew I was related to him and that this baby would be his grandchild. I don't know. It just seems odd.
We are now having to deal with the ramifications of the fact that this is national news.
This is Amy again, Allie's twin sister.
I feel like we're part of this science fiction movie that I honestly don't want to be part of. I don't think my parents deserve this. I don't think we deserve it.
It's weird to think of my doctor post-masturbating coming in to treat me and talk to me and be professional with me. I waver between being very angry and then backing off from that, not being angry because I love my girls. I don't quite know how to feel.
Why he chose to do what he did, maybe he doesn't know himself.
Knowing that when I was his patient, he knew he was my biological father, it makes me feel sick.
We emailed Klein again to see if he would talk with us. he didn't respond. Then we called him, and he picked up.
He wouldn't agree to an interview, citing pending legal cases against him. But he did stay on the phone longer than we thought he would.
He said he knew who the Farbers were.
He said that the media was telling lies about him, although he didn't specify what those lies were.
And he again indicated that he used his own sperm because he wanted to help his patients get pregnant. He did not say why he chose to use his own sperm instead of a donor's.
And then he hung up. We called again the next morning.
This is Dr. Klein.
Is not available.
Hi, Dr. Klein. This is Jake Harper calling again from WFYI. We spoke briefly yesterday, and I wanted to be sure to ask you some questions. So far, he hasn't called back. Sick is a production of WFYI, Side Effects Public Media, and PRX, with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
This episode was written and produced by Jake Harper and me, Lauren Bavis. Our editors on this episode were Sarah Neil Estes and Dave Rosenthal. Original music by Jordan Munson.
Visit our website, sickpodcast.org, and find us on Facebook and Twitter at sickpodcast. If you liked this episode, please rate us on Apple Podcasts or share it with a friend. It really helps.
We're looking for stories of what goes wrong in the places meant to keep us healthy. Get in touch at sickpodcast.org/contact. I'm Lauren Bavis.
And I'm Jake Harper. Thanks for listening.